This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. What a game last night in San Jose as the Blues even up the best of seven series one game apiece courtesy of their 4-2 win. I don't think the better team won this game, though. The Blues come out like a house on fire. They get the very first goal. Jaden Schwartz, bang, 2:34 in, gets his ninth. Tarasenko gets an even strength point, which has been rare in these playoffs. And they've got the 1-0 lead. But really, you felt empty if you were the Blues after 20 because you had a couple of power play opportunities and couldn't cash in on them. Matter of fact, it's been a bit of a problem. Now, 1-for-26, the last 1-for-26, they took an 0-for last night, and that 0-for-2 in the first period, you know, one of the five power plays that they missed on last night where they could have added insurance and didn't. Now, they did get the insurance goal early in the second period to make it 2-0 on the shot from Dunn that makes it 2-0. That was his second goal of the postseason. So you thought maybe they'd be able to survive. And then Sorensen takes a penalty. So the Blues, 2-0 lead on the power play, chance maybe to put the game away. Remember, the Sharks had been 0-2 in Game 2 so far in this postseason. Completely different team. They've had chances in the first round and second round to take 2-0 series leads, and they couldn't do it. So people in the building probably thinking, here we go again. But then Couture scores shorthanded, his 12th. That leads the NHL. And then right after the penalty expires, another missed opportunity by the Blues, Couture scores again, now has 13. So in the blink of an eye, the Blues are about to blow the Sharks out of the building, and then it's 2-2. But then the strangest thing happened from the craziest of sources. Robert Bertuzzo gets his first ever postseason goal. This was his 31st playoff game, and he scores his first postseason goal. It comes at 16:34. That stabilizes things for the Blues. And despite getting outplayed for good portions of the game, they've got the lead going into the third period, and they're able to hold on to it. And then it would be Sundqvist who gets his third with about, 3:08 remaining that would put it away. Sharks just could not get any shots on goal. Now, the final shot total is a little deceiving. Sharks had 26, actually outshot the Blues 26-25. However, when they pulled the goaltender at 2:33, the Sharks had all but five shots on goal in the third period. And this was the third period in which they were trailing going in, and then they put up six shots on goal with the man advantage after the goaltender was pulled. They couldn't score to get back into the game. Bennington played well, made those six saves with the goaltender pulled. So even strength before the goaltender was pulled, just five shots on goal. As a matter of fact, they didn't get their first shot of the second period till almost 9 minutes in. They went over 16 consecutive minutes from the late first period through most of the second period without a shot on goal. So the Sharks did struggle. There were times where they were dominant, and when they were, they got the job done. But the Blues just could not take advantage of the power play. Otherwise, I think they could have done a better job of getting the lead. But I thought possessionally there were times the Sharks were better in the first period. They fight back. They tie the game. But then good job out of the Blues for really squelching any opportunity for the Sharks in the third period, even the series up at one. The hitting continues to be the story. Because going into this series, the Blues are averaging less than 25 hits a game. That's 24.4 was the exact number. They had 41 hits in game one, out hitting the Sharks 41-35. And then in game two, they were able to put up 35 hits to 28 for the Sharks. So they're averaging 40 hits a game in the first two games of the Western Conference Final. So clearly, the feeling is they are going to try to out-physical the Sharks in this series. Now, you got to win games. I mean, what good is out-physicaling them and then you still lose? They're banking on a long series, and they believe they're going to be the better team in the back end of this series because of it. And Thornton looked a little older last night. He was winning his share of faceoffs, but he committed the penalty after the Sharks couldn't cash in on a power play opportunity in the third when Thomas took a hooking penalty at 10:37. As soon as Thomas came out of the box, Thornton ended up getting a tripping penalty. So that really hurt the Sharks' ability to try to get back into that game after failing on the power play and then going right to the penalty kill. Even though the Blues were just awful on the power play, that's still 2 minutes in which the Sharks couldn't focus on trying to get the equalizer. They were more concerned about trying to stop the Blues at that particular point from getting an insurance goal that they would end up getting even strength a little bit later on. But the banking on for the Blues is play this older team, this beat up team physically. And then if we get to game six, game seven, we're going to be the much better team for it. And we'll see if the strategy works out. They've got the split, which they were looking for. Tough game one, better game two, although I think the Sharks at times were the better team. But the Blues, as I mentioned, if they cash in on their power plays, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. They might have been able to win that game by a lot more. So we're even going into St. Louis for tomorrow. And now it's a best of five series of the Blues having home ice advantage. I had a feeling that was going to be a long series, and I am not disappointed. But again, it's not the Tarasenkos or the Schwartz that get the big winning goal. It's the Bortuzzos. You need to be a four-line team. You need to be a well-rounded team if you want to be able to go deep into the playoffs. You want to win these games because it's just so easy for your stars to be your stars, and that's going to be important, obviously. But if you can get a little bit more out of your role players, boy, that puts you in a big spot. So Bortuzzo, who is a part of, and listen, he's an important player on this team, there's no question, but we're still talking about a guy that is known primarily for being more of a defensive guy, getting the job done there, getting the huge goal to help the St. Louis Blues get the win. So sometimes it's not the guys that you expect, but it's the guys that you least expect that end up contributing to getting the big goals and getting the big moments. So congratulations to the St. Louis Blues evening that series. And now we've got what is going to be a fantastic series down the stretch between these two teams. Kind of not the same feeling I have out east. Now, here's the stat which kind of blows me away. Because I watch hockey constantly, and I was just not conscious of this stat, or at least I didn't think about it going into this conference final. Of the 32 conference finals since 1981, there's been more than conference finals than that, but 32 times a team has had a 2-0 series lead since 1981 in the conference final. They've gone on to win that series 30 out of the 32. So that's the history the Hurricanes are up against. Now, the Hurricanes can tell you, well, wait a minute, we defy the odds. We lost the first two games against Washington, came back and won the series. Nobody gave us a chance against the Islanders. We swept them. Nobody thought we were going to make the playoffs anyway, and we did. So if there's a team that feels like, I don't care what history says, we'll be one of the only three teams after this series to lose the first two and win. They haven't even played a home game yet. What are they concerned about? But it is interesting. When I think they've been outplayed in the last four periods, I thought they were the better team the first two periods against Boston. They had the lead going into the third period of game one, couldn't hold on to it. Boston, I thought, was the better team in the third period. They were the much better team in game two. They've got the 2-0 series lead. Still no decision as of this recording, which is 2:00 Eastern time, on whether Broadbent or Moore is going to go with McElhaney or Mrazek. They don't change goaltenders much. I heard E.J. Raddick say that yesterday. So maybe the sneaking suspicion is they're going to keep with Mrazek so they don't show panic. They'll probably go to McElhaney if they lose tonight, because then what do you have to lose? Because you might as well change something if you're down 3-0. But Raleigh should be up for grabs, which is, it's been all postseason long. They love to wear the underdog role. So we'll see if the Hurricanes can just edge their way back tonight, get the 2-1, put some doubt in the Bees' mind, and see if they can't even the series on Thursday make it a best of three. It is going to be tough because they, again, have been outplayed over the last four periods. I didn't think the Bruins brought their best in the first two periods of game one. Carolina took advantage of it. The power play, of course, has to be better. Special teams have to be better. I thought the Hurricanes got themselves into that penalty trouble in the third period of game one. They were never really in game two. So let's see, whether it's Mrazek or McElhaney, the stars have to be the stars. We need more out of Teravainen for sure, more out of Staal, more out of Svechnikov. I mean, just you name them, Aho, those guys got to come to play. I suspect they will. Will it be enough for them to be able to take game three? I'm not sure, but I do think we'll see a great game in Raleigh, and I think it's a must win because I don't think they're coming back from 3-0 down. So win it no matter how you can and get to game four with a pulse, and we'll see if that can happen tonight. That's at 8:00 Eastern time. Should be a good time as we get deeper and deeper into the conference finals. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct, and Mario gets us started off. He says, hey, Don, hope you're having a good day. on the Michael Kay Show yesterday with the crying after a huge loss. And just to catch you up, I don't think that a grown man should cry after their team loses. I think when their team wins, maybe you can cry happiness, or maybe you think about, you know, family members that you wish were there for that big moment. I just don't see crying after a loss. Maybe you're mad, but I wouldn't cry. But just so you're caught up, he goes, I agree with you. In 2014, when the Rangers lost in the Cup, I cried, but I was 13. When the Rangers lost to the Senators in 2017, I was just disappointed and angry. So I agree with you there. Toady says, hey, Don, was really looking forward to an all-wild card Final Four, but it wasn't meant to be. Has there ever happened before? Not under this current format. We've seen lower seeds make it. Again, the Stanley Cup final back in 2012 was a 6-seed Devils against an 8-seed Los Angeles Kings team, but we've never seen the Final Four all be underdog teams. Probably the closest, and I'd have to look this up, was in 1993. And again, that was a different format back then. That was, of course, when the Los Angeles Kings played for the Stanley Cup against the Montreal Canadiens, and Canadiens won their last Stanley Cup, the last Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup, in five games over the Kings back in 1993. But if you remember that playoff, the Final Four was the Canadiens versus the Islanders, the Kings versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that was back with the format of there were four divisions, Adams, Norris, Patrick, and Smythe. The top four teams in each division made the playoffs. One played four, two played three. So if you remember, Montreal was a third-place team in the Adams division. Toronto was a third-place team in the Norris division. The Islanders were the fourth-place team in the Patrick division. And in the Smythe division, the Kings were third. So that's the closest I can really think of underdogs in the conference final, where you had no one more than a three seed in each division. So no more than a third place team made it all the way to the conference final, and you had a fourth place team in the Islanders. So 3-3-4 three were your final four. That's probably the closest I've ever seen all four of the quote unquote wild card teams. But under the current format, where the wild cards actually do exist, this was the first time that ever happened. Casey says, I saw so many missed calls against the Blues and some very soft calls against the Sharks. Was this a case of one-sided officiating, or was it just my teal tilted glasses, tinted glasses? I thought there should have been a high stick on Petrangelo. I guess it was about 5 minutes left in regulation before the empty net goal. I thought it could have easily been called. I think it was Timo Meier that got high sticked. I think they missed that. There were a couple of calls that seemed a little ticky-tack, but I don't really think it had that much of an effect on the game, although I do find it interesting that high stick was not called, and they never showed a replay on NBC. So I'm just going by the way I saw the reaction from Meyer, and then hearing Kenny Albert say that he was high-sticked by Petrangelo. NBC, at least to my knowledge, never showed a replay to confirm it, but that seemed to be the one area where it was a problem. Chris says, hi, Don. I was pleased to see Tarasenko register an assist last night. However, he has 39 points in 59 career playoff games. Considering that your best players need to be your best players, should St. Louis be concerned about the lack of production? Of course. Tarasenko's one of, if not the best players in this series, never mind on his own team. And it's going to be a heck of a lot easier for the Sharks to defend the Blues if you're not getting production out of Tarasenko. And that is a bit of a problem in the postseason. It's been so far in this postseason, and it hasn't hurt them. They're still even here in the conference final. But I think at some point, if the Blues are going to lift the Stanley Cup, Tarasenko is going to have to be better. Calvin says, do you think the Blues' style in game one was to injure Carlson or fatigue him to try to take him to game seven, or just a dirty play? The Blues never played that hunting style all year. Also, can I get the Canes back from 2-0 down to beat the Bruins? Again, I think it's going to be very difficult to do that. So I'm going to say no, that's not going to happen as far as facing anybody other than Boston in the conference, in the Stanley Cup final. But this is to the conversation we had yesterday, Calvin, and so far today. The game plan for the Blues is to hit, and to hit hard, and to try to wear down this veteran, beat up San Jose Sharks team. I thought it worked. Certainly by the time we got to the third period, I felt the Sharks were a bit fatigued. They didn't show any offense until they pulled the goaltender. You're down a goal in a game in which you have a chance to take a stranglehold of a series, winning the first two games at home, and you're down a goal going to the third period, just five shots on goal. not good enough. Again, they finished with 11, but that's because they got the 6 with the goaltender pulled, but they still needed 2, so that probably wasn't going to happen anyway. So the Sharks, they do get a day off here. They're going to have to travel to St. Louis. They're not going to get very many breaks here, so maybe the Blues game plan will work, but I did think the Blues did fatigue the Sharks late in that third period. Game 3 will be very interesting because it's not like if you're fatigued and you're starting to wear down that there's going to be a moment here that you're going to be able to recharge the battery. Unless you get done with this series quickly and wait for the East to go long and get a little bit of a break before the Stanley Cup final, if you're fatigued now, you're not going to get a chance to ratchet it back up again. So that could spell some pretty bad some doom for the San Jose Sharks if that is the case. So we'll keep an eye on that. I think Game 3 will be a great indicator on whether it was just the Blues being the better team in the third period or whether the Sharks were beginning to wear down. But boy, when the Sharks had the ice tilted in the first period, when they were killing off those penalties in the second period, when despite the fact they weren't getting shots on goal, they got those 2 quick goals, including the 1 shorthand, that I really thought the Sharks were ready to blow the Blues' doors off and take control of the series. The fact that they didn't do it makes you think that they might be a little bit too tired to do it. I think we'll get our answer tomorrow in Game 3 in St. Louis. So we got the 1 game tonight. See if the Carolina Hurricanes can stay alive. And then, of course, Wednesday, the pivotal Game 3 between the Blues and the Sharks in St. Louis. Back with you again tomorrow. You always want to get in touch with me. It's real easy. All you have to do, tweet at me, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. You got a question. It doesn't even have to be about the playoffs. It's just anything in general with hockey. Feel free to do that as well, although the focus has pretty much been what's going on with these playoffs. But if you want to get into anything else, it is certainly on the table to talk about. Back with you again tomorrow. This was the Tuesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York and worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.